Mine Head Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 14th of May, 2017. Hello and welcome. Thanks again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Tim's continuing our series looking at vision with Living Vision. The readings, which will be read by Roy and Jenny, are Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 24 to 27, and Ezekiel 37, verses 21 to 26. So we'll hear the reading and then Tim will start the sermon.
First is from Ezekiel chapter 36, starting at verse 24. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back to your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws.
And staying in Ezekiel, we're moving to chapter 37 from verse 21. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will take the Israelites out of the nations where they have gone. I will gather them from all around and bring them back into their own land. I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel. There will be one king over all of them, and they will never again be two nations or be divided into two kingdoms. They will no longer defile themselves with their idols and vile images or with any of their offenses. For I will save them from all their sinful backsliding, and I will cleanse them. They will be my people, and I will be their God. My servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd. They will follow my laws and be careful to keep my decrees. They will live in the land I gave to my servant Jacob, the land where your fathers lived. They and the children and their children's children will live there forever. And David, my servant, will be their prince forever. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and increase their numbers, and I will put my sanctuary among them forever. Thank you, Lord, for your word.
Amen. Living vision. Living vision is our focus today. And as we come to the end of our short series, it's still not working, thank you. Jeff? Thank you. As we come to the end of our short series, thinking about vision, that focus is about taking the vision that God gives us and then actually putting it into our daily lives and what that actually means. Still not working, but you can play with it. Lovely. I'll do that and you'll press a button. Is that all right? Because it won't work otherwise. It's going to get really complicated. Great. There are so many examples in the Bible of people who have been touched by a vision from God, his personal word to them, and then they've lived it out in their experience. And so this morning, what we're going to do is look at the life, or a little bit, of the life of Ezekiel, in thinking about the vision which motivated and captured him. And by doing that, we can see something and some aspects which speak into our generation. And I was reminded when I was preparing for this morning of a little verse in Proverbs which puts vision into a daily context. So, here we go. Here it is. Do you want to read it with me? Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Sometimes people connect this verse with the idea of having like a vision statement as a church or a mission statement. And although that's really good and helpful, and we've got one ourselves, the context here is actually about the difference having God's word has on people's lives. And what that means in making the word of God active in the reality we face moment by moment. And so some other translations actually help us to make things clear. What sort of vision actually prevents people from disaster? Thank you. Here we go. Here's another one. Here's another version. You can read it again. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. And that verse, that translation of the same verse, actually talks about a prophetic word. Thank you, Jeff. And that prophetic word speaking into people's lives is the vision that God wants us to know. When we began our series thinking about vision, we focused on capturing vision. And that starts when we're captured by Christ, when we're captured by the living word of God. That's got to be the starting point. Here's another version. You didn't know you were going to get so many versions in one go, did you? Do you want to read it with me? Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. That's an interesting one, isn't it? And so what that one's saying, thank you, is that without knowledge of God's way, people will flounder. And they'll live lives which only lead to destruction. They cast off restraint. Something we know in the excess and the moral relativism of our society. And I've just got one more. Here's another one. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is happy. That's a good one, isn't it? I like that one. And that is really about letting God guide us to his priorities. That translation gives us another slant to the vision that God wants us to know. And that reference to vision and being divine guidance is the context of so much of what we've been exploring over the last few weeks. We've talked about honing vision. Once we've been captured by the word of God, by the living word of God, Jesus, we then hone that vision down into action and activity, into things that we can personally engage with. And then when we thought about following vision, we recognize that that then moves into determination and perseverance, and that it's in partnership together that we can see the vision of God fulfilled in our life as God's people here. And so we find that our lives then are fulfilled and that we're blessed individually. Now, one thing I wanted to point out is to remember that the word law in the Old Testament refers not simply to regulations and rules. That's not the context most of the time. But it's actually about how God's word speaks into people's lives. And so happiness is actually connected with following God's word. So his vision to us in our lives day by day. That transforms that verse, doesn't it? That the law is actually God's word into our lives. His vision of how we should live. And through that, we come to that point of happiness, of being happy. So, to living vision and a little look at the life of Ezekiel. Now, this morning, in no way can we possibly do justice to Ezekiel's amazing ministry in one sermon. So all we're going to do is pick out a little bit that might speak into our situation. So the first thought is this: vision for now. Ezekiel ministered to God's people at a specific time and situation. He was called by God to be a prophet to the nation of Israel at a very hard time in their history. And most of his book refers to the time just before and during when the people were in exile in Babylon. And the people at that time had rejected God's way and were living independent of God's plans. And the consequences were that they would and did then become exiles, a conquered people living under the thumb of the Babylonians. Ezekiel's calling meant that he had a message of repentance to preach to the people, calling them back to God. In lots of very peculiar illustrations, do read about it later, okay? Just read through Ezekiel and it goes really weird. But if you look at it, lots of different illustrations. Ezekiel is calling people back to come to God's plans and to put them into action. And if they didn't, then God's judgment was going to follow if they didn't get themselves right with him. And so on a brick, Ezekiel actually depicts the siege of Jerusalem. I don't know how much of an artist he was, but that's one of the things he did. At another time, he lies down on his side, representing Israel lying in their wrong, in their sins. At another point, he talks about cutting his hair off and how that was a sign of disgrace. And even when he eats and drinks, it speaks into the situation of his time. And the thing was, Ezekiel was speaking into the life of the nation for a particular moment in their history. Now, the reality is that God has called you guys and me to this particular time. We are here now, and we have a specific things to be engaged with. And God wants us to take that seriously. Ezekiel did. He put everything into his ministry, into fulfilling the vision that God gave him. And God wants us to have the same motivation and understanding of the value and the significance of what we share and what we engage with. That time was urgent. And the thing is, our time is urgent as well. Years ago, I remember some controversy in the Christian press over a series of talks that was given by David Pawson, who was a famous evangelical preacher at the time. He talked about Britain becoming an Islamic state due to the continued inability of church to give a true and clear spiritual lead, morally and evangelistically. Into the spiritual vacuum, he felt Islam could easily take control. Now, at the time, there was lots of heated discussion about that. But when we look at our generation, we see the reality of some of what he said starting to be reality. But what has come through is that there is a recognition of the urgency in the church's task, urgency in the vision that God gives to us as his people, to touch our community, to touch our community with the love and the good news of Jesus. Ezekiel was called at one time, in the verse it talks about being a watchman on the wall. And this verse is great. Do you want to read it with me? Son of man, I have made you as a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. As God's people, we have a responsibility to be like watchmen, to be similar to Ezekiel, sensitive to God's word, and willing to speak it out. And the thought here is simple. The vision that God gives is not something to just sit on. It's not something to just be a duck. Come to church, hear a message, and then waddle home. It's time for us to fly. It's time for us to put it into action and make it real. In our first reading from Ezekiel earlier, we read these words. Thank you. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And the promise that God made through Ezekiel communicates that transforming power that God wants us to know into our experience now. And that transforming His power is given to motivate, and as in Ezekiel's day, there is then a need to communicate the message. It's a vision for now, which needs our willingness to follow now. Here's another thought. Vision can be uncomfortable. Have you noticed that? Vision can be uncomfortable in lots of different ways. Ezekiel's calling as a prophet of his time meant he had uncomfortable things to say to the nation. He spoke into the people's rejection of God's way in all of their relationships, religious, cultural, and political. He also had things to communicate to other nations as well, because the other nations at the time were rejoicing in the problems that the people of God were having. And so Ezekiel spoke to them too and told them off. Now, I can't imagine Ezekiel being a particularly popular guy. Do you think he was? No, I think he had a bit of a tough old time, bless him. And the reality is, in our society, people crave acceptance and recognition. But at what cost? We all know the power of peer groups, don't we? Especially with teenagers. We know the reality of that. But in fact, actually, it doesn't matter what age you are. The same peer pressure, the same herd mentality affects us whatever age we are. And the reality is that our society is continually building that sense of comparison with one another and of needing to actually fit in and feel that you're only going to be secure and loved and appreciated or valued if you follow the crowd. And there is this spiral of despair. Because when we look at our world and we look at the advertising industry, for instance, there's all this wonderful idea that you're going to be this individual, that you're going to be free to be who you should be. But they're all pointing to the same products. They're all pointing to the same latest gizmo that you have to have in order to be that wonderfully individual person. And it's a nonsense, isn't it? Actually, how can we be free? How can we be individual? By being the person God wants us to be. And finding the reality of who we are in Him. We're offered so much that makes us the same in our society. God offers us a whole new way of being. The thing is, God's people, thank you, were always called to be distinctive in the world. Ezekiel recognized this, and his vision included having to stand up for what was right, not just what was convenient. In what ways can we do the same? Do we do that by complaining? Well, only if we want to be known as moaners. And the reality is a lot of Christians are known as moaners, aren't they? They're miserable bunch. Avoid them like the plague. I don't want to be known as a moaner. There's another way that we can do that too. We can be protesting. Now, there is a time and a place for us to protest. But again, if we take that too far, we just end up being an annoyed voice rather than having any answers. How else can we respond to communicate this reality that is different? Well, we just live it. That's the answer. We live it out. Isn't it said that actions speak 1,000 words? That's what the saying says. And if we're to communicate a different way of being, then it's in how we live that that will be most effective. Will we stand out and be made uncomfortable if we live out this vision? Yes. Yes. Is it worth it? Definitely. Will it make a difference? Why ask the question? Of course it will. Ezekiel knew that people may not respond to his words. He was known to actually eat the written copies of his words to indicate that the people wouldn't listen to him. Just have a good look through Ezekiel. He does some really odd things. And Isaiah knew, when we looked at Isaiah, that right at the start of his ministry, that the people would harden their hearts and they wouldn't respond to the words that he spoke. But he still followed through on God's vision for his life, even though it was tricky and hard and difficult and not always responded to. They knew that they had to stay right with God. And so to truly be following his ways, they needed to fulfill what God asked of them. And in previous weeks, we thought about perseverance and the sacrifice that we see in Jesus' example that calls us to do whatever it takes to fulfill God's vision. Whatever it takes, that's what we are called to. Because vision can be uncomfortable. But remember the context in which God makes that calling. We heard these words earlier. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. That promise of a new thing that God was going to do, which Ezekiel proclaims, the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit transforms our reality. Yes, vision will be uncomfortable, but God promises us his spirit to equip, enable, and sustain us as we're obedient to his word, his vision for our lives. And that connects with my final thought for this morning, that vision always communicates hope. The vision God gives us is bound up in the images of hope which Ezekiel went on in his ministry to proclaim. He preached about being the people of God. The rejection that the people felt in his day in being exiled would not last. Good news! God was going to make them a people again. He also preached about inheriting a kingdom. God's presence with his people would make their land into a place of his kingdom as people live in his presence day by day. That was part of the promise he foresaw. He preached about a new covenant, a covenant of peace for all time that would be established. A fundamental change in God's covenant promises that he will send the Holy Spirit to live in every believer. He preached a coming king who will save the people and gather them to be a people through him. That people will be saved and they'll know God's presence. Do you see something happening here? Do you see what Ezekiel was starting to glimpse? Because Ezekiel preached our message before it had even been revealed. He preached the gospel to a people before Jesus. Isn't that amazing? The reality is that the good news of Jesus, God's salvation plan, was revealed in advance. And in Ezekiel's ministry, we see the trailer for the main feature, which was to come. That's what he was about. He was giving a hint of what we now inherit and what we are given the privilege to communicate. Now, I almost changed the order of my sermon here. The truth is that following God's plan and his vision can be uncomfortable, as we've already thought, because morally we're to live different standards to the world in which we live. In our lifestyles, we're challenged to keep things in the correct balance. In our relationships, we are to live in peace and not harboring things against others. In finance, in speech, I could go on and really depress you. But the reality is there are all these different elements in which God challenges us to be different. We will stand out as we live it, and we will stand out as we communicate it. But the reality is, any uncomfortable moments, any resulting pressures, any loss of standing, influence, or power are as nothing when we consider what the vision contains. Our vision should always communicate hope. Ezekiel's ministry was undergirded by hope and confidence in the God that he served. And our vision is filled with hope. The reason we stand out for right is that it's going to lead people to lead the best lives they possibly can. To live lives that are full and fulfilled. To live lives where people know they are significant and valued and loved. To put into action and reality the good news of Jesus. So, the reason we stand out for that is that lives can be filled with the promises of God. Lives can be filled with the love and the power of Him. Whatever our personal vision that God gives to us, whatever the specifics of what He calls us to engage with and to connect with, the vision we seek to fulfill as a body of God's people in our community is filled with hope. And if it isn't, we're doing it wrong. Okay? If what we are engaged with is not suffused, filled, overflowing with hope, what are we doing? Because we're doing it wrong. But if it is filled with that God-given sense of hope and anticipation, then we can know that we are walking in God's way. So our life as a church is filled with opportunities to express and to make real the hope that the gospel contains. To find ways to communicate truth which leads people to experience the good news of the truth about Jesus. Vision always, Christian vision, always communicates hope. I had to put that little word in, Christian vision, because I don't know about you, but I'm cheesed off with the general election coverage so far. Because I'm being given some rather disturbing visions of what should be and could be and might be. And the reality is we need to have a very clear distinction between Christian vision, which always communicates hope, and some of the visions of humanity, which is often about power and control and sadness, really. We have an alternative way of being to communicate to our world. So just to summarise, here's living vision for today. Now, Ezekiel is a full, complicated and mysterious book. But some of his vision we can apply to our vision now. Living vision for now, in a hurting, pain-filled world, we have an alternative vision. Living vision can be uncomfortable, but in a world of low standards, we have an alternative way of life to communicate to those around us. Living vision always communicates hope. And in a world which needs good news, we have a vision of love and hope and grace and acceptance and security. I'm going to stop there because what I'd like us to do is to just be still for a moment or two. And I've given you too many words already. Because what I'd like you to do, just for a moment, as an individual, is to ask God, what word do you want me to hold on to today? What single word, as we come to the end of this little series on vision, what word do you want me to hold on to and to be able to share with others? A word to capture the renewed vision that we have as individuals and as a church. So just for a moment, ask God for a word. I started saying some words and I stopped myself. What word does God want you to treasure and put into reality in your life? And in a moment, we will have an opportunity to just share some of those words. But let's just ask God. Father, thank you for Ezekiel. Thank you for that amazing man of God who was caught up in extraordinary events in his generation and was willing to hear your word for him and to put it into action, to follow through on the vision that you gave him as a servant of God. And we pray, Lord, that we might in some small way reflect the same attitude, that we will be willing to put into action what you're calling us to engage with, to communicate, to become part of as individuals and as a body of your people here in Minehead. Lord, we put ourselves under your guidance. We want to commit ourselves to your vision and your plans and your purposes. We want to give ourselves in every way towards the fulfilling of your plan. Open our minds and hearts to your vision afresh, we pray. Amen.
To leave a comment on the sermon, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.